Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. It may be the most touching of all the Easter scenes narrated in Scripture. Jesus had never left Mary, not even in death. He'd spoken her name. She'd heard his voice. You can hardly describe the scene without getting a lump in your throat. And this was just the beginning of Mary's story. Mary became Jesus' apostle to the apostles. Years later, she would be banished by those who rejected the Lord, set adrift in a rudderless boat with her brother and sister. By God's providence alone, they would cross the sea and land safely in France. She would preach the gospel to the pagans there, converting many. She would work miracles, healing the sick, enabling the prince of the land and his wife to conceive a child. Then, in the last years of her life, she would withdraw to the mountains, to a cave, for solitude and contemplation. But each day, being lifted up into heaven to join the saintly choir and be fed with celestial food, she asked just one more blessing: to be translated with the angels to the Abbey of St. Maximin on the day after Easter, there to receive Holy Communion from his hand, and to die. Quite a story! But not Mary's story. Traditional piety ascribes all of that and more to Mary Magdalene, but you're not buying it, right? Not the last part. Easter is just a beginning of Mary's story. But what is the story of Mary Magdalene? Certainly it's not some of those more exotic aspects of the medieval piety. That, for example, she had been engaged to John the disciple before Jesus broke all that up by summoning him away from the fishing boat. That she had spent the last 30 years of her life in a cave near the abbey in Vesalay, France, where her relics were kept. That she sang soprano with the angels. I don't think so. Even the conclusions that the medieval church drew from the scriptures themselves about Mary Magdalene are dubious at best. Since at least the time of Gregory the Great, around 600 AD, the Western church held that Mary Magdalene was also Mary of Bethany, Mary the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and that she was the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet in Luke chapter 7. The texts don't really support that. And even now, the Roman Catholic Church has abandoned those notions as well. But at least the old piety is a lot kinder to Mary than contemporary impiety. You know what Jesus Christ Superstar and the Last Temptation of Christ did to Mary, right? And it isn't just Broadway and Hollywood that have assumed she was a prostitute. And that, too, is not a fair deduction to draw about poor Mary from the texts. To set the record straight, the biblical accounts of Mary Magdalene are remarkable enough. We do know from Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 16 that Jesus freed her from possession by 7 demons. We do know that she was among those pious women that traveled with Jesus, providing for his needs by her own financial means. She was there at the cross, at the burial. And of course, the story of Mary Magdalene does have that fabulously happy ending. She, we presume, really was the first person to see Jesus alive. She was the one that Jesus sent out to announce to the disciples that he was alive. Now that's quite a story. That's a true story. But even that is not really Mary Magdalene's story. Or maybe to put it a little more precisely, even that is not the real story of Mary Magdalene. What is Mary's real story? What is your real story? Is it the story of someone who was once held in the clutches of sin, even of the devil himself? Yes. And you can fill in your own particulars. Your story. Is it the story of someone who has committed his life and means to follow and minister to Christ? For many of you, yes, even professionally. Your story. Is it the story of someone who will convert the nations to Christ by the proclamation of the gospel? By God's grace, we pray that that will be your story. Your story. Is it the story of someone who someday will be lifted to heaven? Absolutely. That is the story of every witness of the resurrection. That is your story. But you know what? Even all of that is not your real story. We've all heard plenty of insipid personal testimonies, haven't we? And those aren't the real stories of God's people. So what is? What is the real story of Mary Magdalene? Here, according to Jesus, is the real story of Mary Magdalene. Verse 17. Mary, go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. The story of Mary Magdalene, the real story of Mary Magdalene, is not the story about Mary Magdalene. The real story of Mary Magdalene is the story by Mary Magdalene. Mary's real story is the story Jesus gave her to tell about himself. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I've seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. The emphasis is not on I, but on Lord. Not on her, but on he. Jesus is always the real story of every resurrection soul. I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Jesus casts out demons and draws sinners to himself. Jesus leads his followers in ministry. Jesus goes to the cross rise is buried. It is Jesus who appears alive to his followers. It is Jesus who calls them by name. It is Jesus who promises the Holy Spirit for the conversion of the world. And because Jesus has done all this for us, his ascension is to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. Because of Jesus, Mary is remembered as a woman of God. Because of Jesus, God calls you by name. Because of Jesus, you will proclaim the resurrection. His resurrection. His story. A story to tell. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.